we need to stay steadfast in our belief in the truth of God. We do not want to fall away. What does it mean to be steadfast? It means to be unwavering, loyal, firm in allegiance, and dependable in purpose. Faith or attachment, maintaining a fixed position or belief even under pressure or over a long period of time. A lot of people in the world are very steadfast in the things that, you know, they're devoted to, like sports or getting ahead in a job or pursuing worldly pleasures. But our hope lies in being steadfast in the truth. We can enter times of losing our steadfast spirit and devotion to our faith. If we are not diligent, we can have it today and lose it, sight of it tomorrow. We can even think that we have the way to salvation, but become lukewarm and in danger of losing it. In 2 Peter 3:17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And also in Acts 2:41, "Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." In David's psalm of repentance after the murder of Uriah, he requested that God help him get back what he had lost. And this is found in Psalm 51:10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." In the messages to the churches of Revelation, one church stood out as the one who was lukewarm. This is found in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 21. "And to the angel of the churches of the Church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." In verse 21, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." They thought they were rich in the knowledge of Christ, and they let their guard down. Did David fall into that attitude of thinking he had it made? Did he neglect his relationship with God? He had come to the realization that he was on the verge of losing it all. David did not put the blame on anybody but himself, and with broken spirit, realizing he had let God down. He immediately saw his sin. He could have blamed Bathsheba for bathing where he could see her and causing his temptation, but he knew better. Job said he never allowed his eyes to look at another woman. It is obvious from some of what David wrote that he had studied the book of Job. How long do we take sometimes to recognize it, that it was our own dumb fault, that we were led into sin by separating us from God? Someone may say, there was a reason because somebody else did this, and you're so quick to agree that, hey, yeah, thanks for the excuse. Yeah, it was their fault. We're quick to try to blame anywhere but where it belongs, right on us. God is always steadfast towards us. And then Daniel 6:26. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. How can we guard against falling away from being steadfast? Or if we do become lukewarm, how do we get back on track? We have to admit our faults. We all have them. And we can become complacent in thinking we have the truth and are safe. But we must ask God to open up our hearts and minds and show us our hidden weaknesses. Our heart is desperately wicked and always seeking to make us feel like we are on solid ground when we aren't. Don't be fooled by your own reasoning, but look into the mirror in the Word of God. 2 Peter 3 lets us know, by growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we can avoid losing our steadfastness and being led away with the error of the wicked. Tim Martin's had given us 5 valuable tools for maintaining that relationship with God and remaining steadfast. And you can find where he gave that on January 31st if you missed it or need a review. It has to be intentional or you just coast through. 3 things I talked about at the beginning of the marriage: sports, jobs, worldly pleasures, and many others that are not wrong to be steadfast in. Just not more than being steadfast for God. God wants us to enjoy life and be profitable. Now let's look, as someone mentioned in the Bible, that put profit first. Luke 12:15-21. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded abundantly. And then he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This is a perfect example of one who put worldly possessions ahead of God. If he would have put God first, he wouldn't have had a problem with having all those worldly possessions. These biblical examples we have covered show us how avoid losing steadfastness toward God because we put other things first. We can be steadfast towards God and still be falling, failing if God is in last place.